he couldn't drag anymore. He was down with a fever. So just every night was a bad throat. It just kept drinking lots and lots and lots and lots just to stay, to healthy enough to come back. I came back and then the phlegm color changed. And then the throat becomes painful. And I was going to speak for a while. The phlegm builds up, it goes to the nose, and the throat gets stuck. So by the end of the hour, I had to go and clear my throat. And that I want to share with you this whole idea of the imagery of Psalm 23 and how to memorize this psalm. Okay? I want to share with you how you can meditate for your own, to your own good. Okay, so there are some of the things that I'm going to share with you, physical things. There are things with you that I'd like to encourage you to practice this mentally, spiritually, so that the Word of God will come alive to you in more ways than one. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us. We take time to read your Word, to perhaps look at a familiar text, and we pray that you will help us to go deeper in the reading of the text and the memorizing of it. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what do we do with a familiar text? A lot of times, one of the biggest dangers of reading a familiar text is, I already know it. There's nothing more to learn from it, and we do not read it with as much meaning as we could. Right? So I'm going to share with you how you can look at a familiar text and then look at how this would work out. I think that is something one to look at very, very, very carefully. Okay? Psalm 23 is used in more ways than one, and was used in a recent funeral, right? And just 2 weeks back now, suddenly it's 2 weeks already. So, and she was just 58 years old, and she's gone. Right now, Sue's father, Mr. C, is just 55. And he has got now high-grade leukemia. So if you have this cold and cough and things like that, best thing to do, don't visit. Because this person's resistance is so low. The very thing that you think is all right is the very thing that can kill a person. Okay, so because when we are healthy, we think it's nothing, but it's quite challenging. Okay, so this is something that we look at very, very carefully, and that can happen. I noted there, 2017, Madam Jessie Soul also had this text used to this for her funeral, and then this one as well, 2018 is there as well. So this is a favorite psalm of many, many people. The problem is sometimes it is so familiar. When we read it, nothing comes out of it. So I want to share with you how to read a familiar psalm so that we can still benefit from something which is familiar. Right? So this is how it is very, very important. So I'm going to analyze for you the use of what we call imagery. Okay, so this is interesting to see. So this is what we call this divine imagery. God is a shepherd. Right? And this is also found Psalm 100 and verse 3. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There we go. See? So this imagery is there. Now that is interesting to look at. So sometimes this idea of imagery does not grab us as much because we are non-agrarian economy. And we don't know what a shepherd is. I mean, seriously, we don't have sheep except in cold storage. you know, and the stalls and mutton somewhere in KK Market. No, not too many people sell this sheep and mutton. So the idea of a shepherd is virtually lost on us today. And yet, it was a important imagery used in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testaments. Right? So this idea of the imagery, God as divine shepherd, Jesus as the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, it's there, it's very strong. The question is how to relate to this idea. Okay? So this is something that we need to... So when we meditate and we start memorizing, and I want to encourage you to start memorizing, it's just, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? Then the next verse says, I shall not want. What does that mean? Well, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. With I shall not want. When we were in India this week, one of the challenges was we had one person who was sitting at the back of the van. His name was called Samuel. And every day, he would come, he would hobble to his seat, he would sit down, and he would ask the Pastor Bhaskara, and sometimes he would ask Victor Bekata. He was also sick, he lost his voice. But at the end of the week, Pastor Bhaskara, his voice was going. The hotel manager, he was also sick, so quite a few people were just quite unwell. So this man called Samuel came to us, and he says, Pastor, can church help him? Now, Kirubai is not a rich church. You know, it has very, very limited funding to look after its own needs. So my biggest fear in India and in Myanmar is that word gets around. We are caring for the poor. We are giving whatever. Next day, next Sunday, the church will have standing room only, because everybody wants to have something. It doesn't matter what. Anything will be fine. That is how it works, unfortunately. So anything given out is fine. The week we were there, there was a by-election. And the person who wanted to be elected was going to every place he knew, including churches. So if this pastor brings in 5 people, guaranteed vote for him, he gets 2,000 rupees. So you get 10, you get 4,000 rupees. And so forth, exponentially. The politician don't care how much you spend, as long as he gets elected in. He's willing to pay it as investment. When he gets in, he will get back all he puts in. I cannot imagine how this person, charismatic church, all the pastors went, and they put the money, gave them the money, we will give you this number of votes. So I told the pastors, if any one of you ever does that, you are history. Okay, we will ask you to leave as in now, immediately. But this is a big problem, that side. See, the problem is, I shall not want. What does that mean? Right? Now, this is something you need to apply very, very carefully. So, we went to all the other churches. Well, what are their needs? Say another one. Now, this is very, very interesting lady. Her name is called Bembayi. And this is a lady who's in her 60s, and she sings in the choir. Now, I'm not so sure that she really knows all the words. But she is so plucky. She walks everywhere. No shoes, you know. Bare feet. Even went up to the stage, bare feet. Attend all the meetings, bare feet. Never see her wear shoes. Because she doesn't know what to do with shoes. Now, she used to work, and when she was in her 50s, she used to work as a sort of a caretaker of a school. And they give her not much money. Somebody present is somebody there. Right? So there we go. And so she's there until the school said, okay, you're 60 years old, retire. So no more. But no dependents. She was never married. No children. Nothing there. Because she's sort of half crippled. And so the big question is, how do we practice I shall not want? You see, so the challenge is, how do we practice these things? I shall not want. So I started something new this time around. So I said, this is what we're going to do for the people. Okay? Don't give them money, but vegetable, oil. The government actually gives them a ration card. The problem is that a ration card will help them to purchase rice, but not good quality, unfortunately. By the time you wash it, and the things which are there, the rice that is usable is sometimes only 50%. Sometimes they take the same rice and they sell it to the hotels, smaller hotels, they will buy them and make idli out of it. They can't use it. So it's very, very painful. And yet the fact is, if the Lord is truly our shepherd, so we establish one, they must be true sheep. They are believers. Two, they are, but I cannot say black sheep because it's a wrong color to use in that country. You cannot use words that be very, very sensitive. You cannot say that. But in other words, bad sheep, then the one. Right? So we have to look at it very, very carefully, and then we establish this. You see, the challenge is to practice what we read from the scriptures. The best way to memorize scripture is to practice it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How do you apply it? Personally, we are not in want. Right? How do you help other people so that they would not be in want? Now, he does not say, I'm in luxury. But there must not be the want idea, especially the Lord's people. So begin to say, okay, starting this month, we're going to look at what the needs are. So I've set aside some funds for them to utilize, to buy the vegetables, to buy the oil, to look at some things like hospitalization. They can't go to private hospitals, of course. They have to go to the government, things like that. And those things are important, you see. So the challenge is to apply it. I shall not want. I'm not in want. Okay, what do we have? Well, there are people who are in need, in want. How do you apply it? The challenge is to make it applicable. Well, let's help other people. Is it a challenge? So then, when you memorize the text, you know, you nod your head, it's true. It's not only for me, it must be applicable to the next person. So suddenly, we saw this vampire person, and then another person who is there. And you see, in India, last time was 58, now it's 60. When the day you reach 60, whatever job you have ends. Now, if you had wisdom to save enough money, it would be wise. But if not, you're on your own, no matter how you look at it. And it is tough. It really, really is tough going. So what's our commitment? Our commitment is to help them to... You cannot just simply teach about this thing. You have to put it into practice. And when you do, the Word of God comes even more alive. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay? But then you apply it to somebody who is in want. And you care for them. Remember, it's want. It's, in other words, in want literally means basics. We're not looking at eating biryani chicken or biryani lamb or something like that. It's just basic. And they're not asking for that either. But it's been tough. So the Vembayi lady we have to look for, literally, to help build her a tiny house to live in. You see, the problem is, word will get around. How? Who is this? How do you get it? And it's painful. It really, really is always challenging. Myanmar, I've been doing this for years. Because a lot of times, I'm concerned, for example, many of the older pastors, after they have lived and served the Lord for so many years, and they don't have funds. Much of the problem is not because they are not saved, it's just that if there is a disaster, it's all wiped out. If there's a long, serious illness, wiped out. Or members of the family get seriously ill, wiped out. That's basically it. So, you know, these are needs. I attend to many such personal needs in Myanmar, particularly with the children, the education of the children. You see, as long as the Lord enables us, so we are now able to apply. So when I memorize the Lord's word, I look for this angle called application. How do I apply this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? So whatever little funds we can have to utilize and give it to the Lord's word, then the word that we memorize becomes alive to us. But as long as we just do it, okay, I live by belief in this, but I don't practice it, nothing will come out of it. It's not real. The challenge is to make it real. The challenge is to make it come alive. I think that is something that we really want to thank God for. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Now, how do we apply this? You see this very clearly. Okay? In Psalm 78, of which I've just looked over here. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 78 so that we can see a picture of it, its application. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at. Right? Let's look at Psalm 78. And we'll see this, how David applied this concept. With his life. Okay, the last few verses. Right? He chose David. He also chose David, his servant. That's God. Took him from the sheepfolds as a shepherd. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. See, that is the application. So how do we function as servants of God? Here, shepherds. There we know. This is what it means. The shepherds. Right? So this is what we want to consider. To shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. So David's part, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Two vital things to apply. One, integrity. Two, skill. Both are needed. It's non-optional. It's a necessity. Right? So when we talk about this idea of integrity, then we understand. How does your heart teach you? What does that teach you? How do you go about practicing the Lord is my shepherd? Well, then we understand. Okay. See, it is real. It is personal. You take the principle. It becomes a part of who you are. That's integrity. Right? Then how do you do it? The skill that is needed. There we go. You see, we came across... One person came up to me and the person said, I'm a Lutheran pastor in our camp. So I asked him, oh, what are you doing here? He said, I came here to learn. So I asked Pastor and I said, who is he? He said, I don't know. How do you get into our church camp? He said, you really want to have a little bit more skill in looking after who is coming. Then one of them said to me, this is what an Indian pastors do. they come to other people's church camps, get to know people, and then lure them to his own church. So that he doesn't have to go and do all the hard work at winning people. Right? Already. Well, I'm a servant of the Lord too, but my church is here. Why did you come? I will shepherd you. But no integrity. Right? And no skill. Here is winning people to the Lord. That takes hard work. The fellow takes the harvest and then brings it home. That is what we don't want to do. Now that's very obvious. Right? So this is something that we need to look at. And so the integrity of the heart and the skill is of the hands. It takes a lot to be a shepherd. That is not learned easily. Some people are non-shepherds. No matter what you teach. Alright, first count the sheep. And before they can sleep already, then you know this person, as a shepherd, cannot count sheep. He counts sheep, he falls asleep. This person is obviously not cut out to be a shepherd, full stop. See, the challenge is to have skill. To do what is needed to do. So on the spot there and then, I have to work with the pastors. See, they were taking so long. Let's sing congregation song. Two songs. They took longer to speak than the singing of the songs. So I called them and they stopped. You like to hear the sound of your own voice? This is congregational singing. Get them to sing, not tell long stories. The next day they tried it and the congregation warmed up and they sang. See, you need to have the skill. So a lot of work that I do is mostly corrective work. A lot of times, it's just a lot of corrective work to be done. Every year, okay, after that whole thing, okay, tweak. Oh, let's do this, let's do this. Let's do this. What are the skills? Feed the people. So the book of James has now been translated into Tamil. Okay, I have a personal copy. I will read it one of these days. Never going to have the skill to read Tamil. So it's just that, okay, you know, it's there, that's it. Man, no more than that. Right? That the challenge is to encourage them to do this. And if you can have skill, there was one young man, about 2 years ago now, led him to the Lord. His name is called Vishnu. Now first, his own brother-in-law committed suicide. Then his another brother committed suicide. And he was on the verge of committing suicide. So the parents asked, they happened to be related, distant cousin of Stephen James, and said to him, can you please help him? So Stephen James very wisely devoted time to help him. So every month he goes to Bangalore to minister to them. I said, okay, well, let's go ahead and do it. Outreach, please go ahead, do it, do this. And, you know, at this camp, this one brought 15 members of his family to camp. 1 to 15. And so I told him the other time, I said, when I saw him a few months ago, I said, look, you are getting so thin. You are barely 50-something kg now. Really, really thin. What, you're starving yourself to death? Stop it. So he came up to see me. He says, Pastor, I'm now 65. He says, I hear you. And ever since then, I have been eating for the last 2 months. I don't feel like eating. I say, basic things like that, you've got to tell them. And this fellow is actually quite a clever man. In fact, he speaks better English than all the pastors. Really, he really does. Vishnu. Why, if he ever wants to serve the Lord, I'm going to help him change his name. You cannot call him anything. Why? This is a cannot, because that is not. He says it just reflects his parents. the thing here, you see. So I mean, that's something that we have to think about. You see, but you see, the challenge is there. to shepherd people, you've got to know your sheep. Right? And being the senior shepherd, I have to look after the younger shepherds and say, okay, let's do this. Let's tweak this. There's no other way. It's a really... So you apply it into your life. You see this applied in David's life. So though he was king, he was called shepherd. Psalm 78. Right? So the word, by the way, the word pastor literally means shepherd. So when you call a person a pastor, actually what you call, this is the Greek for the word shepherd. Right? No mistaking what this is. So this is just simply the idea of a shepherd, and this is something that we need to look at. So I want to encourage you to memorize it. And now we're just going to focus on it. How do you apply it? Right? So you search the scriptures, this is how to apply it. The Lord as shepherd, we are his sheep. A person is appointed by the Lord, he becomes shepherd, looking after the sheep. Integrity and skill must be in the hands of the people, of the servants of God. And that is absolutely important. So when we memorize the Lord's word, what do? I think that is something that we are challenged to consider. Right? So, first, there must be understanding. See, most of us don't realize the work of a shepherd and how that really that really works. It's not as easy as we imagine that work is. Okay? We will see this as we memorize Psalm 23, bit by bit. We'll see what the shepherd's work is really like. But first, reference Psalm 23 begins with "The Lord is my shepherd," and there must be a personal relationship with the shepherd. I think that is important. Psalm 23 is very, very personal, no question about it. The me and the my throughout. So the best thing to memorize the Lord's word is to make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. How many times do I need to say it before I memorize it? If it takes 100 times, do it. Spend that 100 moments where you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then seek to understand it, seek to appreciate it. So first, understanding. What is the Lord besides everything else? The Lord is my shepherd, among other things. He is my king, he is my Lord, he is, you know, my comforter, he is my strong refuge, he is also my shepherd. That is a relationship, a personal relationship established first and foremost. Right? If he really is shepherd, then you are sheep. Why are you leading yourself? See, every time we lead ourselves, we don't practice "The Lord is my shepherd." The challenge is to lead, to have the Lord lead us. I think that is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. The Lord is my shepherd. Right? So there must be understanding of what it means for the Lord to be who he is and who I am. He is shepherd, I am sheep. Let's follow. Obviously, the sheep cannot tell the shepherd where to go. That's very obvious. Okay? I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. And if only we can understand this. Okay? So the way to understand it is to look at Psalm 100. Look at 100 and look at the understanding that is there. Okay? Talking about the sheep shepherd. So 100 and verse 3. Okay. And so we read in verse 3. "Know that the Lord," the same Lord idea, Psalm 23, 1. Okay. "Know that the Lord, he is God." So there is a relationship where he is God to us and he is creator to us. Right? Relationship, Lord, Relationship God, relationship make. And so, relationship people, sheep. Four things. Right? Now, I'm going to explain to you how this works out into four different aspects. The first one, Lord, actually covers all the others. I'll show you how it works to make it personal. See, that's how we memorize with understanding. Psalm 23 is deeper than most people think. Right? The idea of Lord is the idea of a covenantal relationship with God. This is Exodus 6. So the Lord says, by this name I was not known to the people. And He will explain in chapter 4, chapter 6, and so on and so forth. Chapter 20. That is a very special relationship. God enters into a covenant relationship with His people. By covenants, we are His people. This is the Lord. We are His people. Okay? Two, when we say we believe in God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He is deity. He is not human. Right? And then we read. But what it means, it is He who made us. Psalm 100 and verse 3. He is God. It is He who made us. He is Creator. For we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He is Shepherd. And this is how we understand as we meditate. And on every step, you thank God. So I make it a point when I memorize the Lord's Word. I walk, whether on my treadmill or just walking around, I would just remember this. Okay? I do about 15,000 steps a day. That's about 10 kilometers of commitment. And that is going to be important. So I memorize the Lord's Word. So I think about the Lord. He is, there is a relationship between Him and me, covenantal. Two, He is God, deity. This is my God. Thanks, Eugene. Three, He is my maker. Thank you. Appreciate that. Then He is my maker. Finally, He is, not finally, but fourthly, He is my shepherd. So I don't memorize words. I memorize understanding of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Right? On Sunday, when Sally had to be rushed to hospital for A&E, okay, there is what is known as an SVT problem. You know, it is supraventricular tachycardia problem. Basically, the heart beats very fast. You know, aberrations of the things is not firing properly. You know. So George took over. He drove there, and Jane was there because she was attending to her, and of course I was there. So of course George spent a couple of hours there. So he brought me back. Then I went back to look at the blood test results. But no need for them to be there. So I said thanks. So George said, you know, he's doing this because, and his word was family. And I really deeply appreciate. See, I've known George in more ways than one. And it's much more than a single strand relationship. A single strand relationship is not strong. It must be many strands. So in relationship with God, we are many strands. He is Lord by covenant relationship. He is who He is as God, deity. He is maker. He made me. There is a relationship between creator and creature. And there He is shepherd and sheep. Four strands. So when I walk, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 100 and verse 3. I usually memorize them together. I recite both texts together regularly. And the relationship, the bond is very strong. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four strands becomes very strong. Right? So what we call in the Old Testament, you know, totally the double cord, single cord and the double cord, not easily broken. Triple cord, even more so. And that is the two people plus the Lord Himself, a triple cord. Single cords are very thin. Double cord, two strands. Triple cord, three strands together. A lot of ropes, better ropes are made of three strands or even more. Well, that's what it is. So when we have a relationship with God, it's not just simply as God whom I worship, I fear, but Lord in my covenantal relationship with Him. Right? As my Creator, I know how He made me, why He made me, and then finally, fourthly, as my Shepherd. So when I memorize the Word of God, I memorize it with understanding. I have a fourfold cord relationship with God. And that helps me to deepen my understanding of the Lord is my Shepherd. You see how wonderful it is? So when I say the Lord is my Shepherd, I treasure the me, the my, the I part of it. That is a personal relationship. And I was really, really thankful. Sure, I came back unwell. But I'm thankful I'm there to do what I needed to do. Right? So I could, one, be with the people, talk to the pastors, speak there, teach in the morning, preach in the evening, watch over the whole pastoral team, talk to them in the morning, talk to them in the night, talk to them in the afternoon, throughout. And still find time to write my articles. So, you know, I need to do what I need to do. So, it's really thankful to the Lord He made us. You see what I'm saying? So the relationship with God is very, very strong. That is the challenge. Not just something to be recited, but a relationship that is strong. And that is vital. So memorization of the Lord's Word with understanding strengthens relationship. Every word is precious. The Lord is my Shepherd. Right? I shall not be one. What's my part? And look at the imagery of David. Integrity and skill. They become a part of the way I serve the Lord as Shepherd. Right? Then you begin to appreciate. Truly, there are times when it makes me to lie down in green pastures. Makes me to lie down. John understood that. So he had to lie down because he couldn't even speak. See, the shepherd may lead each sheep differently. For him, he had to make me to lie down. Not necessarily green pastures. Just lie down. Finish. Right? The Lord has a different path for the other sheep. It's okay. You know, how wonderful to be able to understand this. Right? He who believes in me, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will go in and out. Right? So this is very important for him. He will find pasture. There the Lord is. So the understanding of it becomes very, very real and made us as Creator. Right? So there is something that we need to look at as the Creator and the God as deity, Lord as a covenantal relationship with God. You see? So we have four ways at least. Of course, there are more. That's King. Remember, in Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, right? And it says, I will love the Lord. It's talking about how he will love the Lord, who is his strength. Then shield, right? And fortress, and stronghold. So many different ways in which we can relate to the Lord. And if everyone is real, then the cord is really, 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 really strong and cannot be easily broken. You see, so this is what we want to try and do when we memorize the Lord's Word. So every time we memorize the Lord, sometimes we will be dwelling on one aspect, the Lord part, or the God and the part. Sometimes it's the Shepherd part. Sometimes it is the creator, maker part of it. Some hundred became a part of me. Literally, 50 years ago. The biggest question when I started out wanting to serve the Lord. Right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Right? Question is, how will the Lord provide? You don't know anybody. You've got nothing to start with. You've got nothing there in your hands except your suitcase. And then the faith to serve the Lord. And then look back 50 years and you see the Lord's provision. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His sheep. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Look at how the Lord has provided over the years. Truly, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's how it was. 1973. All I own, two suitcases. That's it. That's it. Nothing else to name. Looking back years, look at how wonderfully the Lord, He fulfills His word. So as the Lord enables, you know what I want to do? I want to return it back to the Lord. Do whatever I can for other people. That is my joy. That's how we practice it. So as we understand it, as we live it out, as we practice it, the Word of God becomes even more alive. That's how we look. So with application in mind, one, I relate to God. So I relate to God, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, plus some 18. More complex, more levels of relationship. You relate to God. No, as you practice, that means you walk, I become even more conscious. So I have this watch that gives me the time. And I say, one is how many steps have I taken? Sometimes not always working well. Yeah, but you're going to look at it. Okay, now I am now 9,589 steps. 6,000 more steps to go before the day is done. 6,000! It sounds like a lot. No, it's not really a lot. Before you know it, it's done. But you're conscious of it. You see, you practice consciousness. So this is not that I have not walked. It's just that it makes me more conscious. Can't run away from it. Hey, listen, you got not yet 10,000. Very soon, 10,000. Then it buzzes and flashes. Hey, congratulations, hit 10,000. So I have this thing here. First 10,000. Then after the consistency, they told me, you have now given an award called, Sneakers Award. Then after that, I hit 15,000. Wow. Then I hit 17,000. And then they give me another award. Not that you get anything at it. It just tells you an award. It's just words. Nothing more than that. Okay, so you look at it and say, listen, can it be done? Well, let's do it. You walk on treadmill very fast, it goes. You walk slowly, it takes forever. Treadmill goes very fast. You go, well, very wonderful, let's go and do it. You see, so this is what we do. And you become conscious of it. Right? And if you're not conscious of it, they will tell you, the last 2 hours, zero. See? Guilt comes. Hello, you're not doing anything. But sometimes they say, for the last 9 hours, you have been very active. Hooray. And they will tell you, well done, you are an overachiever. Whatever. You know, this is just prime to put in to give you a little bit of encouragement and things like that. But seriously, you see, the idea is to practice it until you are conscious of it. A relationship with the Lord is something you've got to note. It's got to be a growing relationship. The relationship with the Lord that is static, that is stagnant, it will die. You've got to build on it. You've got to grow it all the time. Right? Now, this is something that is absolutely vital that we want to look at it. And we have to ask ourselves how we can do this. And I think this is something that we want to look at. So I want to encourage you to do meditation. This one has got a little app that says, okay, now breathe. That it teaches you how to meditate even. Interesting thing here. So, okay, but it's very simple. Inhale, exhale, inhale, inhale, exhale. You know, things like that. 2 minutes. Relax. Now, that is the world's way of doing it. Biblical meditation is the other way. You don't let the mind go blank. Right? You don't. You know what? You fill the mind instead. Now, this is what I want to encourage you to consider doing. And so, instead of letting the mind go blank, you think. That's why I like to think anyway. I like to think thoughts. So, I like to think. Right? So, I try to fill my mind with thoughts and I understand. Then I look for enlightenment. You see? So, I'm saying so many things from Psalm 23 verse 1. 15 minutes and still going. How come? Well, with the thinking, understanding, the enlightenment comes. Right? So this is what, that's what it is, how it works. So I begin with this three first. Okay? I think. I understand. I think I understand. Right? So then I think. I seek understanding. I think I understand. And then suddenly you're enlightened. See, the enlightenment is like the buzz, the 10,000 step. You have, you know, there we go, look at this thing. Then you just look at it, wow. The enlightenment comes, you reach the 10,000 mark for the day, anyway. But my focus is not 10,000, is it? My focus is 15. So even if I hit 10,000, I got 5 more thousand. See, this is the meditation part, you see. See, the first 5,000 thinking, understanding, the enlightenment is the 10,000 burst. Then I dwell on it. Okay, now the Lord is my, He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my Creator, my Maker. He is my Shepherd. You know, I dwell on it. And the dwelling upon the Lord is this meditation part of it. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I think you look at it very very. Otherwise, a lot of these things will pass us by. And then it's gone. I mean, you just think about it. Right? When I passed 33 years old. Now, interesting. Why 33? Because the Lord Jesus died at 33. Right? So when I think in terms of some of how he died at 33, and I say, wow, this is something that I want to think about. So I dwell on it. So the question is, how do I respond? I want to share with you some of the responses that that are really, really challenging to look at. And I think this is something that to think about, and it's just, this is really wonderful. 17:27. Right? He who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Why I like that. Right? You see, so you begin to realize that you can be calm. Even though there are lots and lots of these things here which in life, there are many, many things that will cause us to lose our calm. 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children is their father. Wow. 17, sorry. Verse 6. Proverbs, I'm sorry. Did I not say? Okay, Proverbs. Yeah. Proverbs, sorry. These short sayings are usually proverbial. Okay? And I think this is something that we look at. Right? 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. Right? Hotter for gold. 7 times for silver, even worse for gold. And then, of course, the Lord tests the heart. So whether or not we meditate, the Lord knows. Whether we dwell or not, the Lord knows. The Lord will test the heart. Right? And so we see this. Children, you look at these things here, you appreciate it. The crown of old. So when Mary was born, this verse came to mind. The children, the grandchildren, are my crown. I've lived to see grandchildren. So you can wear a crown. How wonderful it is to understand this. Right? And then we talk about how in the 27, how does it work? And it is wonderful to see this. He who has knowledge spares his words. Man of understanding, come Spirit. You see, so meditation brings about this calmness. In the world, they talk about meditation being emptied of everything. Biblical meditation is the opposite. You think, you understand, you're enlightened, you dwell, and the calmness of Spirit will come. And I think that is absolutely wonderful to take note of. And as we see these things here, you know, you begin to realize that as you memorize one thing and another, it's so important to see this. It makes me to lie down. Next week, we'll look at this. The next verse, how the Lord is our shepherd, how He makes us lie down. John, be prepared to share what you have experienced last week, you know, this week. And I'll kind of, what did you learn makes me to lie down? Why? There are deeper reasons all the time. And you can only speak about it if you have been made to lie down. Eugene cannot talk about it. Moses cannot talk about this thing because it's not their experience. What does it mean to lie down? And then we learn how to do this. And it's important. See, so the Lord has got different experiences for us to go through. And everyone is still teaching about He's the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is Lord, He is God, He is Creator, He is Shepherd. A fourfold relationship. So then when you memorize the Lord's word like this, it's not words. It encapsulates a lot of things. Then you think, you understand, you enlighten, you dwell. Then of course, you must seek to apply. Right? So that's the challenge, is to seek to apply, and this is important. And of course, you just in prayer, thank God. So glad the Lord is my shepherd. Right? So you can share this with at funerals. You can share it with people who are going through a rough time. And you ring a bell. The calm spirit is absolutely important. Especially when you are ministering to the sick and to the dying. You cannot say, wow, you're going to die. That person will die faster than you think. You can't. You have to look at it, the calmness of heart and of mind and the spirit. And it won't come until you learn how to be still. It's okay. The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. And then you find yourself. And then you realize, no, this is the Lord's leading too. Sometimes we can't see it. But that's what we want to do. Okay, so this is absolutely important for us to consider. Are any questions you want to raise up? So today, we memorize the first verse, which you already know anyway. Okay, but we'll try. By the end of a few weeks, we should be able to recite this. Not just in work, but in understanding, in life, you will see. It will truly help you to have a calm spirit. Don't overreact. Just take it easy. Come. Right? So Yvette will be finishing her long leave already and then going back to work soon. The Lord is my shepherd. I practice it. Not easy thing, but that's what it is. So now, okay, in between reading the Bible and looking after the baby, Eugene has to do his part to keep eyes. So I got give her two eyes, one she and a You know, we practice this until we get to where we want to go. We trust the Lord, right? And there are lots and lots of these things here. As we come back, people are ill, you know, people have leukemia. Henry Yap, latest. He just wrote to me yesterday. He says, Pastor, confirm. Liver is now cancerous. It's not from his lymphoma problem. It's a fresh cancer. You see? And so he says, his liver is hardening. And he says he hopes to start treatment soon. But it's challenging. That's how life works. And you don't know. And he's younger. A person, and yet it's a reality. Right? So these are challenges for us to consider. And may the Lord give us the wisdom to just trust Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay? The Lord has, we've never been in want. The Lord has always provided. If you look back, look at how we all started in life. You watch how true it is. Shall not want. Right? We're there. But the Lord is there to provide. And He has, we have never been in want in any real sense of the word. Maybe some difficulties along the way, but the Lord has wonderfully provided. We should really be thankful. The Lord is my shepherd. In four different ways, He proves Himself shepherd. As Lord, as God, as Maker, and as shepherd. Many, many ways of relating. It's up to us to relate to the Lord in as many levels as we can, in as many strengths as we can. The greater the number of strength, the greater the faith. Dwell on it. That's what we need. Just dwell on it. Talk about it, share, think about it, pray about it, respond, practice. That's what I'm doing, sharing with you. So many aspects, just one verse. Okay? And work with it, and it will come. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the challenge to know Your Word. We pray that You will help us to put into practice what we've learned today. Help us to bestir ourselves to do our part in developing, in cultivating a strong relationship with You. We pray for Your goodness and Your provision. Teach us how to be aware of how You have provided all our life. And we just want to thank You for Your provision. Help us to truly respond with thanksgiving and to share with people. The Lord is indeed our shepherd, and we have not been in want. We pray that You would bless us. Enrich our faith, our life further. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, let's give a love for the Lord's word.